Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Oi! The boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language. And sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature. So keep the volume down if there are kiddies around. And thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go! Booty, booty. It's time to get this party started. Booty, booty. It's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mitts and now it's time to go. Cause it's the booty, booty. It's time to get this party started. It's the booty, booty. It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, and your Jim and JC. All we know and all we talk about is booty, booty. It's time to get this party started tonight.
You're listening to FP Presents TFC 3 Questions. Footy Prime, your almost daily footy fix.
Indeed, it's 3 questions. Toronto FC version. James Charbonnier with Jimmy Brennan, former captain of TFC, and John Molinaro of TFCRepublic.ca. As we record this, we're kind of keeping one eye on the Man City Real Madrid Champions League match entering extra time. But because we're such servants to you, loyal listener, we are putting that aside so we can focus on Toronto FC here for 25 minutes or so. All right. J-Mo, you wrote a lot of content this week at TFC Republic. I love the one today. You kind of regaled a former match many, many, many years ago regarding Danny Dicchio. Maybe Dicchio's finest moment, in fact, with Toronto FC. A match, in fact, where Jimmy Brennan also partook. Mm-hmm. Now, what inspired the piece today before we get to today's 3 questions?
Yeah, so this is a game from May of 2009 when TFC was hosting the New England Revolution at BMO Field. And so what I like to do is I you know, with my sort of flashback series, I look back at interesting moments or players and, you know, in TFC history. And I just thought with TFC set to host New England this weekend, it might be a good idea to kind of look back at like a pretty big moment in the club's history, you know, against New England. And this was a pretty big win for TFC at the time because a 3-1 win, they conceded first in the game and then they stormed back with 3 unanswered goals. And Dicchio, who, you know, I think most people kind of remember him for his sort of, you know, physicality and his sort of intimidating presence on the field, showed a lot of technical ability in this game. He collected 2 assists and he had a hand in the third goal as well, even though he didn't collect an official assist. So it was really, I would probably say, even though he didn't get on the score sheet, probably his finest performance for TFC during his entire time there. And, you know, just an interesting time in the history of the club. This was like one of Chris Cummins' first games in charge. And, you know, there was hope at the beginning of the season before things kind of washed out the way it did. So it was just an interesting snapshot of where the team was, you know, whatever it was 15 years ago.
Jimmy, do you remember that game?
No.
No? Surely you remember Dicchio getting 2 assists. My God, come on.
Listen, I don't think people realize, you know, and I played against Deitch in the UK and then obviously with him. For such a big man, I don't think people realize how technical he was, how great of a touch for a big man he had. He was such a clever, clever striker, and his finishing was ridiculous. I remember some days in training just watching him going, wow, this guy can finish. And there's a reason why you play in the top flight, and there's a reason why you're in the top leagues in Europe is because you can finish. You've got a great touch and you're a big presence. So, yeah, Deitch was a great player. I really enjoyed playing with him, but technically very, very good. I think he deserves a lot more credit than what he got, especially in Canada. Yeah, we like him But in England, people really, really appreciated Danny Dicchio as a footballer.
Well, he was known for his great hair, right?
And oh, yeah,
England, beautiful QPR, flow. Amazing yeah. flow he had there. And then, of course, came here and it was all gone. So he shaved it off. But he was known yeah. as this physical, imposing, you know, footballer. But you're right, yeah, had a nice skill set as well. I remember doing a sideline report at training once, and I'm trying to do this report, and these balls get whizzing past my ears. Foom, 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 foom. And Dickie, I turn around, he's like 50 yards away, and he's pinging balls towards me, yeah. and he's just missing. But it's like, Jesus, the guy can freaking hit a target, or close yeah. to it anyway. So really good player. Chris Cummins is a name from the past too, from TFC Law. Jimmy, what kind of coach was he? He of course, he replaced John Carver, didn't he, I believe? Yeah. He was John Carver's number two.
That's right. Yeah, Chris, I got on really well with Chris. I liked him. He was a player manager. He was a modern coach. You know, that kind of transition with that, you know, the older kind of managers that were more of dictators. And Chris was more of that up and coming. And I think because he worked a lot in the academies in the UK as well. So he really kind of understood the modern day player. He understood football tactically. He was very good. And on the training pitch, he was brilliant. I thought he was very, very good. And I really enjoyed working with Chris Cummings. I thought he was a good guy. I thought he needed an opportunity. And I felt he was a manager that could have went a long way in the game because he saw the game well and he had a good relationship with players and he could identify players as well.
Do you know where he is now?
McDonald's.
I'm sure he's still in the game somewhere.
No, I don't know where he is, but he was a great guy. I had all the time in the world for Chris.
Interesting story. He's the only coach in the history of TFC who gave me like a rollicking. He pulled me aside one time in a room, a separate room at BMO Field, and just for 15 minutes was berating me with F-bombs for nonstops, just straight. So, but then, you know, the next day he was like, fine, we were, you know, it was like, it was all forgotten. So it's the kind of guy he was, I think, in a lot of ways.
Jamie, you got to tell us why.
You know what? I was trying to rack my brain. I can't really remember. I think I actually know. You know what? It was something related to Dicchio because he wasn't playing all that much that season. And they kind of came up with this cover story that he wasn't traveling. So like he wasn't going to the road games yeah. and they were saying, oh, he's too old to travel and whatnot. And I was just like, what kind of fresh nonsense is this? Like, I appreciate that he's 33 or 34, but that's such a ridiculous sort of excuse. And I can't remember either. I wrote something or I asked Chris in one of the media scrums about it. And afterwards, he pulled me aside at one of this sort of private room in BMO Field. And just for 15 minutes, I'm telling you, he was just F this and F that. And you're questioning my authority. And it was, wow, I just had to stand there and just take it. So it was pretty intense.
Jimmy, do you remember Deitch not flying with the team?
Deitch not flying with the team?
Yeah, like not traveling to away games. Do you remember that?
No.
Come on, you must do. There's some dirt here.
What are you talking about?
Well, did you not just hear what JMO just said?
Yeah, but I can't remember.
Really?
No.
We've got to dig into this.
What games? Do we know which away games he didn't go to?
I think there was like a game in Los Angeles that he missed, and I want to say Houston. It was like a string of about three or four games road games consecutively where he wasn't traveling. And so, I mean, I think suspect that there was something else going on behind.
Oh, that might have been at the point where his missus was a little bit sick. She was ill at time. Maybe. So that might have been what you guys are referring to back then.
Okay, so yeah. It wasn't the back. I mean, his back was kind of checking out, wasn't it, in 2009?
Yeah, no, but Deitch, I remember. Like, I was his roommate. In fact, I'll tell you a story with Deitch one day, right? Deitch was under the weather, wasn't feeling the best. And he's like, Jimmy, I'm struggling a little bit. I was like, okay, no problem. You know, I said, what do you need? I said, go have a bath, get some food in you, and then have an early night. He's like, yeah, okay, no problem. So he falls asleep. He wakes up in the morning. And all of a sudden, I hear him swearing in the bathroom. And he comes out. I said, Deitch, what's the matter with you? Jimmy, look at my tongue. Look at my tongue. His tongue was black like my sweater, right?
Wow.
He puts the tongue out. I freak out because I'm just waking up. I think he's possessed. I think he's got some crazy issues. I'm trying to put my shorts on to run out of the room because I think he's got some crazy, crazy like a disease that I've never seen before in my life. So I leave the room. I'm like, Deitch, I'm out of here, man. This is crazy. I've never seen anybody with a black tongue like this before in my life. The doc comes up, and it's because of the medication he was taking the night before. So all the toxins and poisons and everything come out of the body, and it sits on your tongue.
Jesus,
really black. I was gone. I was out the door like you've never seen in your life.
What was he being treated for crying out loud? God help us. Wow. I just got some. I mean, JMO, imagine Jimmy Brennan, Danny Dickey are roommates. Fucking hell.
I know. Wow. I can't imagine that pair on the road.
There's a book there, isn't there?
You know, definitely.
Bedroom with Danny and Jimmy.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to our three questions. All right. Do you guys remember when the attack for TFC was the main point of panic? Now it's 10 goals against in three games. That's the panic now. It's the defense. So the first question is, after recording 4 clean sheets in the first 5 games and now conceded 10 times in the last 3, what is going on with this team at the moment, JMO?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I think, you know, Jimmy can certainly speak to this more than I can. But, I mean, a few things. I think I've noticed just there's like just major lapses in concentration at key moments. I mean, you look at that third goal against Charlotte when that and you'll forgive me, I can't remember the Charlotte's player who kind of peels away from Bernardeschi. You know, he has like acres of space and no one really closes him down until he breaks into the box and then he delivers that ball, you know, at the far end of the near post, and that Charlotte ends up, poking home. And all three goals were kind of soft, or, you know, certainly preventable. And Osorio talked about this a couple weeks ago, after the Sporting game. He, we seem to be lacking concentration in key moments, and we have to remain locked in, you know, for 90 minutes. So I think that's certainly at play. I think the fact that, you know, there's been some changes at the back, right? It hasn't been a consistent back three. I mean, now that they're going to miss Kevin Long for, the game on Saturday, and plus Shane O'Neill's going to be out for a month, they've had to kind of float players in and out of that back three throughout the season. So I think that's certainly an issue. And we've kind of alluded to it in the past. Yes, it was 4 clean sheets in the opening 5 games, but I think that somewhat papered over the cracks because Sean Johnson and Luca Gavron were so outstanding, right? And I think they kind of bailed out, you know, the back line to a certain extent. So, I mean, to me, those are some of the issues, but there's probably a lot more that we could probably talk about as well.
Yeah, I don't, I've never been a big fan of the three at the back. For me, go with the 4. Mm. Go with 4. You can see the 10 goals. Let's not get carried away here. You've got to change things. You've got to be able to adapt. And if it's not working, then change it. Go with a flat 4. Where you're a little bit more organized, you're a little bit more disciplined. What ends up happening at times too, when you got the 3 and then you have a little bit of possession, they tend to open up a little bit. And then the defenders start to creep into the opposition's half because they want to keep control of the game. Now, for me, the biggest issue that they're having right now is these guys, they don't sense danger. They don't sense danger. It's great having possession. It's great. Okay, Bernardeschi, you go. Stop ball watching. Don't ball watch. Watch what's going on around you. And organize defensively first. Your job's not to go score goals as a defender. Your job is to organize as the attackers go forward and you make sure that discipline is there and you are set and you are organized. Because in the back of your mind, you've always got to have, what if? What if we lose this ball? What if that guy gives the ball away? What if this happens? What if they counter? Are we ready for them to do that? And I don't feel that these defenders are doing that. So I don't know who's working with the defenders right now, but there's an awful lot of work that they've got to do. And they've got to sense of danger, and that's key for me. And defensively, you've got to be organized because right now it doesn't look good at all.
So the issue there, though, with going to a back 4 and changing your system at this point in the season is that with the injuries, with Shane O'Neill out and Kevin Long out for this weekend, then you've got some pretty inexperienced guys about to step into a new system in that case, right? Thompson, you wrote about today, JMO, could be playing centre-half this weekend.
Yeah, I think he only sort of plays in the back if they stick with the back 3, right? I mean, if Jimmy suggested they go to a back 4, then it's probably likely going to be, you know, Gomis, and I would certainly think Sigurd Rosted playing a center back. Mm-hmm. But, you know, so it's interesting. I mean, I'll be watching with keen interest what they do, if anything, to sort of, you know, make adjustments because, as Jimmy said, it seems like this back 3 hasn't sort of hit some major bumps in the road the last 3 games. And it'll be really interesting to see whether they, you know, switch to a back four just to change things up and get back to basics.
Yeah, I would. I'd go with the back four. Put Flores in there, just sit in front of this back four and just protect. Break everything up. You don't go forward. You just sit there. We need to stop conceding. Have to stop conceding goals at the moment.
Some of the words, and you wrote about this, JMO, at TFC Republic. Some of the words that John Herdman used post-match about defending was criminal, mind-blowing, unprofessional, right? Bad mistakes. Now, Jimmy, as a former footballer and as a coach as well, is it easier to fix those kind of mistakes than perhaps bad habits and players just not up to the task?
Bad habits. Yeah, but Charms, you on that pitch for that whole week, you've got to be working on it defensively. Every day you're taking that back four. And if you want to play with, you know, one holder, two holders, you have to train with them in front every single day and work. And you don't stop working until they actually get what the job is defensively.
Mm-hmm.
You have to every single day. You must work on it. And the problem is too, sometimes some managers be thinking, well, you know, the players might be getting a little bit bored of it, or the players don't really, they don't want to do it. Who gives a shit? They're there as footballers. You're a defender. Take pride in your work and work every single day on that pitch, whether it's an hour and a half, 2 hours, until you understand and you are a cohesive unit and you stop conceding goals. Because 10 goals in 3 games is not good by any means. And those defenders will be sitting in the dressing room. They'll be thinking the same thing. We need to figure this out, and we need to figure this out ASAP, because it's not good.
Yeah, we keep hearing that term, oh, the effort's there, and I hate that term in professional sports.
I hate it.
The effort, yeah, you do too.
Every game you put effort in.
Yeah.
Do you not?
You should do.
Right? When you think
otherwise,
so,
it's a bigger problem.
Put effort in. I hate it.
I guess you're trying to find some kind of positive, right, from another loss. Yeah. Now, certainly going forward, there were some positives. You scored 2 goals against Charlotte at Charlotte, which is a very, very tough place to play. Coming off the bench, Prince Owusu scores 3 in 4 games now. We've been talking about that solution up front. You know, would they play Burner centrally at some point? You know, they do at times in the game, obviously. Is it an incoming player? Is it someone else? But, I mean, they're sticking with Owusu some pretty big minutes right now, JMO. And you can't knock the stats. 3 goals in 4 games. Is he potentially the solution up front?
I don't think so long term. I mean, I appreciate that he's sort of certainly come good in the last few games. And maybe it's my bias, but I tend to like sort of number nines or strikers who can stretch defenses, right? Who can kind of latch onto the ball, drop back, and sort of run at defenders and really sort of, you know, cause unbalanced, you know, fullbacks and center backs with their pace and just the way they attack. Prince Owusu is not that type of player. I mean, he is a guy who's going to play back to goal, sort of, you know, effective link-up play, uses sort of physical size to dominate players. And he's just, you know, and I think we saw it in the game against Charlotte, he's the type of goal scorer who, to get goals, he has to be in the right place at the right time. And we certainly saw that on the road. It kind of reminds me, I mean, this is a comparison that's a little far-fetched, but he's more like a Felipe Inzaghi than someone like an Andrei Shevchenko or a Thierry Henry, who are, you know, obviously going to run at defenders, right? He's going to try to be in the right place at the right time and try to read the play. And that's fine. But I don't know. For me, I think you need someone, a striker like in that Henry mode, someone who can sort of latch onto the ball and make things happen and isn't necessarily dependent on, you know, the service that he'll get, right? And, you know, I think Owusu is a fine player. I think he offers TFC a player profile that, you know, it could use. And certainly, you know, 3 goals in 4 games, that's encouraging. I just don't necessarily think he's, you know, the long-term answer to the team's sort of attacking sort of issues.
Although he shows some swagger with a celebration, at least, in that first goal, which is something. I like that, right? Not the most dynamic of players, but he showed something there, which, you know, okay, this guy's got something about him. Just look at the celebration. You know, it is so tough, isn't it, Jimmy, to judge the attack, especially that kind of player when the best attacking player isn't even playing right now in Lorenzo Insigne. If you're going to be a type of deep line striker who's going to play this back to goal, you need to have those players playing off you. And when the best guy isn't even on the pitch, it's going to be pretty tough to judge that attack until he's back, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Look, you're relying on Prince right now. And if you look over his records, he's not a prolific goal scorer, is he?
No.
You know, he's not by any means. You're hoping that this is a guy that's going to maybe get you 8 goals, 9 goals if you're lucky. I think his best best form was when he was at Hoffenheim too, where he scored 17 goals in 36 games or something. But apart from that, he is not a prolific goal scorer. He's not the answer. But if he can get in the right places at the right time with certain players that can set him up and he can get you a few goals when times are rough like now, then brilliant. And you never know. You're hoping and your fingers are crossed that he's going to get in a role and find the target and bang some goals in for you, because who else is going to do it?
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre Kerr started. Sorry, go ahead, Jamie.
No, I was just going to – I completely agree. And I think, you know, he's just the best option right now, right? I mean, because when you look at the other options, it's Ayo Akinola, who has been in dreadful form, Jordan Peruzza, who has even yet to make an appearance this year. Perhaps he could play Tyree Spicer up top, but I don't see that as an option. So it's – they're not exactly spoiled for choice. I think it's just a matter of him being sort of the best option right now on very limited options.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
The deadline is 6 days from now, right? April 23rd?
April 23rd, yeah.
Yeah, do you anticipate anyone coming in?
I don't think so. I mean, these situations are always fluid and things can always happen. And it's not for lack of trying on TFC's part. Like, from everything I understand, they are trying to make things happen. But everything I'm hearing, and John has kind of said this himself, to bring people in, they're going to first have to get rid of some pieces, right? Just because of sort of the salary cap situation. And that's tough on a team that's, you know, largely unchanged from last year. There's not a great deal of market value in a last place team. So it's not easy.
You're right, J-Mo. And then, I mean, look, if I was to ask you right now, is there anybody that's got value that somebody in the league would want to take off this TFC squad right now?
Yeah.
That's going to give you enough room to go buy a nice striker.
Yeah. I mean, someone like maybe Jaquiel Marshall-Reddy, because he's young and he's got like a, you know.
Yeah, but you don't want to quit on him just yet, do you?
No, that was my point. I'm not necessarily sure that they want to sort of like sell him off just yet, or give up on him, but. So I don't know. It'll be really interesting to see what, if anything, they can do before, you know, the transfer deadline on April 23rd.
Our friends at the Toronto Till I Die podcast, Mikey Singh and Company, and Nesket, they were talking about the Italians and are they still trying to push a sale behind the scenes? Are they still trying to move it? Obviously not now. I understand that, but how much action is there? Nesket. Our boy Nesket. Jesus Christ. And Mike Neal. Anyway, sorry. Great podcast. Anyway, they're talking about, you know, how much action behind the scenes is still going on regarding these two players. Do you think there is? Jamie, what's your gut tell you about that at the moment? Are there conversations for the summer?
I think nothing is off the table. I mean, I think, you know, and nor should it be. I mean, this is a team, again, that is largely unchanged from last year when it finished last place in the league, which had a dreadful attack, had, you know, one of the worst defensive records in the league. No one should be above sort of – no one is untouchable on this roster, or at least they shouldn't be. So, yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if they are trying to move them. But, I mean, again, easier said than done, just given their salaries. I mean, I don't see another MLS team necessarily taking them on just because of everything that is involved with their contracts. So if they are going to move either one, you know, it would have to be from a club, I would think, from abroad.
All right, our final question is, the fight back against Charlotte was encouraging, but the Red Storm haven't won an MLS game in which it conceded the first goal since April 16th, 2022. 69 games. Why can't this team play from behind, J-Mo?
That's the million-dollar question. I mean, I asked John Herdman this very question after the game on Charlotte, and he said he didn't have a definitive answer. He said, look, I mean, this game was different from the last game, and there's certain different things at play. I think it's hardly an original thought, but I think this team has, you know, struggled with confidence and is just there's been this sort of mental frailty about them, you know, really over the last 2.5 seasons. And I don't think they've quite shaken that yet. I think certainly the first 5 games certainly helped, and it looked like a completely reinvigorated team with a new level of confidence. And again, I think the Charlotte performance was encouraging in that regard, because they did come back from behind twice. And if this was last year, I don't have any doubt that they would have thrown their hands up in the air and that would have been it, because that was very much how this team operated last year. But there is still this thing about, you know, when it's they have this inability to make sort of games easy on themselves, right? There's just, when they did win earlier this year, they just managed to get over the line. It was never easy, right? It was never a game where they were in complete control. And I think that probably plays a large part of it as well.
What's the mentality playing from behind, Jimmy, compared to playing, you know, ahead or at least even?
It's easier
to play from behind?
Of course it is. Of course it is. It's easy. It's hard. It's harder to be in control and 1-0 up hanging on to a game. That's hard. But when you're down and you got possession now because the other team's dropping off, you're playing. You're playing your football. It's completely different. It's easier to play when you're down than it is up. 100% it is.
But 69 games without a comeback win. I mean, that's a long time, isn't it?
But like when I say it's easier, it's – how do you explain it? It's easier to get on the ball and start knocking around and look like a good football inside when you're losing a match.
Right, right. It doesn't mean you're going to get results.
It's harder to be winning a game and knocking that ball around and keeping control of the game. It's hard. It's very hard.
But it must get in your head, though. When you haven't come back for so long, it has to be in that, get into your head, into the DNA of that team almost.
For sure it will. But that's a ridiculous stat, by the way.
I know.
That is ridiculous stat. I mean, look, if it was me, if I was a manager, I would be saying to the players now, we are going to focus defensively. I don't give a shit. We're not going to concede. We're not going to allow them to have a shot. And it's going to be ugly, ugly football. It is going to be disgustingly ugly. We are going to park the bus. And I don't give a shit what the fans think if we get booed, but we are coming off this park with a clean sheet. And we're getting something out of this game because we are not going to concede early again. We are not going to lose another 3 points. I don't care. You have to make a stance sometimes, and it doesn't have to be pretty. And if you want to go out there and be, oh, we're going to knock it around, we're going to play good, attractive football, you're not winning games. Who gives a shit? You do what you have to do to win.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, I should add this, but that stat about not sort of coming from behind to, you know, after they concede the first goal, I think a large part of it is just because of, you know, they haven't had the attack to like sort of come from behind, right? I mean, last year they scored, 29 goals, which was, you know, if not the worst attack in the league, then certainly up there. This year they only had, you know, they sort of, you know, the start was encouraging, but they still sort of struggled to score through the early portion of the season. So I think that plays a part in it well. They don't have sort of the firepower necessarily to come from behind. So that's played a part in it as well.
Yeah, they have $20 million a year tied up in the attack.
Yeah, well, we've kind of beaten that dead horse before, right?
I mean, yeah, I know.
They're clearly not sort of like producing on the offensive end as they should be. I mean, Bernardeschi, I think it's now 17 games without a goal, dating back.
He got an assist, though, didn't he, last week?
He got an assist. Yeah, it's just, he played well. I mean, but you know,
was an assist.
He's got a score.
1 million, got an assist. Brilliant.
Yeah. Well, he's got a score. I mean, there's no excuse. I mean, he can't.
And listen,
a DP can't go that long without scoring. I mean, yeah. I appreciate that he's not an out-and-out number 9, but still, he is an attacking sort of profile player who has a history of scoring on a regular basis in Serie A and, you know, in the Champions League. So for him to go this long without a goal, you know, it's unacceptable. You can't. There's no other way to say it.
And in fairness, the guy that was scoring goals for them this season blew his hamstring, right? So they weren't scoring many goals, but they had – and listen, he was scoring great goals, if not being prolific. But I mean, it all kind of adds up, right? There's an excuse at every door, put it that way. Anyway, we'll see. Up against New England, back at BMO Field this weekend. JMO, tfcrepublic.ca. You have a ton of content, like I mentioned there. What would you recommend if there's one article to read in there today? What is it going to be?
Well, the Dicchio article is pretty interesting because, again, it's an interest. It offers an interesting sort of snapshot of the team. I'll have an interesting piece tomorrow because I interviewed Adam Perlman, who's probably one of the most promising prospects to come out of TFC2 in the youth academy. Hasn't made his senior team senior team debut. Actually, no, he did. Sorry, he made one appearance last year. But a really interesting player with an interesting story because he kind of grew up in Johannesburg. His family moved here at a very young age because they wanted to give, you know, him and his brothers and sisters, you know, better opportunity. And just a really thoughtful young man, still only a teenager. And I think he'll have a bright future out of him.
Nice. Okay. Jimmy, you should read the Dicchio article. You might refresh your memory from the game that you don't remember playing in.
Which game was it? Was it at home?
It was, yeah, May 23rd, 2009.
Shari Joseph scored.
Yep.
Nicely. Did you just Google it?
No.
No?
No, he scored that game.
Okay. Oh, yep. Well, nice one.
And we won. Was it 3-1?
3-1, yep.
The Rosario and Amado Guevara got two.
That's right. So full of shit. You're totally giving.
No, I swear to God.
You're looking this up.
How can I look it up?
We didn't know it 20 minutes ago.
No, but I sometimes... Sharms, when you play a lot of games, you got to figure out what you're...
I know. It's always unfair to say. Remember playing that game when you play, you know, hundreds of games in your career? You know, I can barely remember last week's podcast, let alone, you know, playing hundreds of football games. So, hey, I get it, Jimmy. It's okay. TFC3 questions. Hope you enjoyed that. Make sure you subscribe to all our Footy Prime content, Kenya, on all your various podcast platforms. Check out our YouTube channel as well. And check out our website. We are footyprime.com. All right. And, of course, tfcrepublic.ca. Until next week, cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @Footy_Prime and on Instagram at @FootyPrimeIG. And visit WeAreFootyPrime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
Good job, boys. That was fun.
Well done, guys. Awesome.
Thank you.
That was really good.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.